What's up, Aggie Radio? You're listening to Overcompetitive Bystanders here on Aggie Radio, KBLU 92.3, Logan, Utah.
Yeah, we're really excited for the show today. We're going to wrap up the Olympics a little bit, and then we're going to start talking to, we're going to keep talking about my favorite topic, which is college football. We're getting really close to the season, so we're going to talk about some of the preseason rankings that have come out and some of the topics there.
Yeah, he seems to think I don't like college football. He's like, well, there's a lot of things college football we can talk about, but I know you don't like it as much. I'm like, I love college football. I just love NFL a little bit more.
Okay, I know you like college football and that you prefer NFL, but, like, I seriously feel like every time I talk to you about a college football topic, you're like, well, I don't really know that much about that.
No, I just don't have much to say about Big 12 and who I think is going to go to the Big 12. I don't care as long as it's not BYU.
All right, that's fair, and they won't.
I watched every single, like, playoff game. I watched almost every bowl game that I could see. Yeah, I watched every
single
Utah State
game. Like, we watched all these games together, basically. Yeah. Like, it wasn't just the two of us. There was a group. It wasn't like me and Alex were just like, hey, let's go watch football together. No, like, there was a big group of us that would watch football.
No, it was just me and him, and we'd chill on the couch.
No, I know where you're going, and that didn't happen.
Okay.
Okay, but so we're going to start off talking about the Olympics. And basically, my favorite thing was hearing about the Mongolian wrestling coaches that,
they were upset with the decision that the other team was given a point at, like, the last second after the match had ended, and so it put them ahead of the Mongolians. And so the coaches were really mad. So, like,
they did what anyone would do in that scenario.
They stripped down, took off all their clothes in the middle of, like, the ring. They're just,
and
like, throwing
threw
down
it at the refs.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I think it's the bigger news is that this doesn't happen more often.
Really, like, my biggest thing is, like, ice skating or, like, gymnastics. When they fall, they get back up and keep going. If I fell at the Olympics, I would have a big fit in the middle of, like, in front of everybody, just like, I'd probably start stripping down on the middle of the ice, just throwing all my clothes down.
See, I feel like the ice wouldn't be a good idea. Like, wrestling mat is totally different from stripping down on the ice.
It'd be much more, like, revealing on the ice, I guess. I don't know.
It's true. I think it'd be really interesting
to see. I also wouldn't
look
quite as white on the ice because the ice is all white.
Unless, like, it like, shined off of the ice and onto you and you were literally glowing with whiteness.
Would that not be awesome, though? Standing there basically naked, 100,000 people probably watching you, glowing on the ice. Like, nobody remembers the fact that you just fell anymore. They just remember you naked for the rest of their lives.
I feel like that would be, like, on one of those highlight clips at the beginning of, like, SportsCenter where they show, like, the top plays from the past year and, like, all these big shots. It's just a shot of you with your arms out just glowing and just embracing the moment.
And then just, like, a little sensor bubble.
Yeah, probably. I mean,
I'd hope anyways. I hope they're not showing you naked on ESPN.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, but it's up to you. Yeah. But, I mean, speaking of, well, never mind. We're going to talk about USA basketball for a little bit. And first of all, I will admit I was wrong. I thought there was more reason to concern.
And they trounced everybody. I mean, the Spain game was decently
close,
I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, they had a 10-point lead almost the whole fourth quarter and into, like, the last minute where they gave up, like, 6 points.
Yeah, that's true. And, I mean, they did what they needed to do. Honestly, like, it's no excuse. I think Australia would have put up a better fight than Serbia.
Yeah, I was really shocked that Serbia won.
But, like, at the same time, like, they trounced Serbia by so much, and Serbia beat Australia. So, I mean, they did what they had to do, and they were the better team.
No matter how that set, like, the Serbia-Australia game panned out, USA was the best team on the court in any game they would have played.
Probably, yeah.
So, I wasn't concerned. I wasn't concerned at all, and it, maybe I should have been, but it turned out that they won anyways, so.
Yeah. And, I mean, I heard one argument that, you know, this wasn't really the team that you would want, like, that you would expect to trounce everybody. Like,
right. There's no, again,
like,
there's
first
no,
of all,
like,
you have Harrison Barnes on that team.
Yeah, Harrison Barnes. He got, like, starting time in, the prelims.
Like, just the fact that they have Harrison Barnes on the team means that you actually kind of expect him to lose a game.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the Warriors. They lost.
Because of Harrison Barnes.
He's the one who did it.
Right.
He was the one, he, like, has these psychic powers, He's like pushing the ball to one side.
I don't dare say it. Harrison Barnes is the BYU of the NBA.
I'll agree with that.
Okay.
I'll agree with that. But no, yeah, I think Coach K did a good job coaching everybody. It wasn't quite what I was hoping for, but I mean, he did well. I'm excited about the 2020 Olympics.
I think Australia will come back strong.
Yeah.
And I think that we might have to be worried in 2020. I wasn't worried this year, but we might have to be worried about Australia in 2020.
But, I mean, the good news is Pop is going to be our coach.
Yeah, and we'll probably have – I don't know if LeBron will be, like, the leader of our team, but he'll be on the team.
LeBron will be there. I mean, maybe at that point Gordon Hayward will be the MVP coming off the greatest season of all time. Jazz had just won 2 straight championships, and, you know, the discussion starts of whether Hayward was better than Jordan, and it starts the whole discussion. Yeah. I think that's going to be really good.
And then
good
he leads
Olympics.
The team with the shot, the game-winning shot over Australia in 2020 and then Tokyo Olympics for the gold medal.
Yeah, over Dante Exum.
Over Dante Exum.
Yeah, his teammate.
Which, yeah, that'd be pretty glorious.
I think that would be amazing. Or, like, maybe just Andrew, there's, like, in the corner just a shot of, like, Andrew Bogut crying.
I would enjoy that as
well. Like, he's not even on the court. He's just on the bench. Just maybe he's not even on the team.
He just went.
Yeah,
he just showed up,
the
and
game.
They're like, Andrew, we're not starting you. Like, what are you here for? He's like, I just want to cry on the bench.
Might. Yeah, I think that would be pretty good. And then they don't allow Harrison Barnes. They keep him out. Keep him out of the Big 12. That's what they call the starters for Team USA, right? The Big 12?
Obviously.
Yeah. So that's they keep Harrison Barnes out of the Big 12.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's fair. But maybe that's an analogy. Maybe that does mean BYU does get into the Big 12. Because, I mean, Harrison Barnes got in. Who knows?
I really hope not. But I don't know. I'm more convinced now that BYU could be in the Big 12 now than I was, like, the few weeks ago that we talked about it.
Yeah. Here's my thing. And I like this argument that with every passing day, it's worse for BYU. Like, if they would have just, like, announced we're expanding and then been like, we're taking BYU, like, there's not really much of an argument. But as every day goes on, more of this politics stuff is coming out, and it's looking tougher for BYU.
I mean, I understand it was amid, like, a lawsuit, but they have made strides in the right direction with their honor code recently.
That's true. They have. They made
I mean, it's
steps.
Not at all, like, enough, but it's a start. But, yeah. I mean, it was from a lawsuit. We'll see if anything else happens without a lawsuit or another lawsuit.
Yeah, who knows? We'll find out. So one thing really important that we wanted to mention, we will not talk about Ryan Lochte.
I don't think he's worth talking about.
We're not going to talk about him. Okay, next topic. So this is honestly one of the funniest things I ever heard. Auburn, their season opener is a home game against Clemson.
Right.
And, you know, that's a really exciting game. Clemson, number 2 team in the country. Auburn, always a competitive team. Even if on their down years, they're still good.
Right.
Auburn announced that game is going to be an orange out against Clemson, whose primary color is orange, and they just wear orange. Like, when you think Clemson, you think orange.
Yeah.
When you think Auburn, you don't think orange. And so
it's not
like,
even like one of their primary colors. It's like a highlight color for Auburn. I don't. The only thing that I can see going through their heads is they're thinking, well, Clemson will wear orange too, so there'll be a big shot of the Auburn Stadium with everyone in orange, and they'll be like, oh, look, everybody showed up to support Auburn in the orange out, when
true.
Really it's just a bunch of Clemson and Auburn fans all in orange.
That's a pretty good point. I think it could be pretty effective for Auburn in that way.
I don't think it'll work out, though. I think Clemson's going to figure out a way
to they're
going to
wear their
silly.
Purple.
Yeah.
Like, I think, and that will stand out even more than if they were to do, like, because the other thing is, if Auburn didn't do anything special and they just said, like, hey, wear your blue and orange, then no matter what Clemson does, they're like, well, we wear orange, it looks like it's their orange. And if we wear purple, it's even pretty close to their blue. We don't stand out as much.
Yeah, but now that they've said it's an orange out, if it's just all orange and purple, it'll look like it's a Clemson game.
It's a Clemson game.
The Clemson home game.
People are watching ESPN, just like, oh, Clemson's got a home game. Oh, why does it say Auburn on the field?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's interesting. Earlier today, I was watching the Auburn-Utah State game from 2011.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I don't know. As I was watching, I kind of watched for orange, and I was like, I kind of want to see if there's, like, a good amount of orange.
Right.
And there wasn't, so that was kind of a surprise.
Depresses me heavily.
Yeah, but, I mean, hey, we almost beat them.
Yeah, it was close.
5 years ago.
Chucky was, like, breaking
out. That was
out.
His first game.
Yeah.
Freshman quarterback Chucky Keaton. Breaks it out, almost beats the returning national champions in Auburn. That was a cool game. I really enjoyed watching it. Yeah, it ends in heartbreak, but I mean, that's kind of just the motto of being a Utah State fan, though.
And the motto of being Chucky. His life ends in heartbreak. Every, like.
I don't know. I bet he can find love somewhere. He should look in, like, a hopeless place.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, I think it'll be good. But yeah, anyway. So now we're going to get to basically our main discussion today, which is the AP came out with their preseason rankings. And surprise, surprise, Alabama is number one.
Shocked.
I think everyone expects Alabama to be number one. I think everyone always expects Alabama to be number one.
Right.
But I think they'll do well.
I mean, at least preseason. I don't think, like, ever you're going into the season, you're like, oh, Alabama's not going to do very well this year. And even if you do, everyone else is like, well, they're going to be the number one team.
Yeah. I think it's really hard to look at Alabama and look at Nick Saban and say, you know, I think they'll be really good, but they're only going to be, like, a number two team.
It is interesting, though, that Clemson only got 16 votes and Alabama got 33, but they're 26 points apart. So that means, like, a lot of people put Clemson at, like, two or three, mm-hmm. where Alabama was either, like, they got, like, the number one vote or they were a little bit farther down. So, yeah.
And, I mean, so we have here, it kind of breaks down where, so it, I think, thought this was a really cool thing. It goes through and it talks about every single voter and how they voted.
And this is for AP?
And this is for AP. Okay. And just as I kind of looked at it, yeah, I mean, Clemson, I think the lowest anyone has Clemson is five. I don't think anyone has Clemson any lower than five. But yet, there's an Alabama, let's see, it looks like there's an Alabama at like six or seven. So
okay.
Clemson's pretty much just like always at two. Alabama's like at one or like at four. Mm-hmm. And so it really, like, that's the kind of the interesting. It's like it just has their logo and it just has straight like orange paws just up and down the number two vote. And if they're not at number two, they're number one. All
right.
So I think that's pretty good. One thing that I thought was interesting is San Diego State, their highest ranking was like number like 14 or 15. Boise's highest was like 21.
I'm telling you, the hype is real for San Diego State. Somebody knows something I don't. Because, well, like, I think they'll be pretty good. I don't think they'll be top 25 even good. So
I don't know. Because the thing is, so it's really interesting. San Diego State, they have a higher, like, top according to, like, these AP voters. But Boise still has more points than them.
They have three? Three more votes.
They have
I don't know how many points they have.
Yeah, they have three more points.
Oh, okay. I mean,
but I mean, that tells me there's more people thinking Boise will be like a 21 to 25 team than people that think San Diego will even be ranked. And I think that's kind of interesting. Okay. I think it's a really good discussion. I'm really intrigued to see how this season plays out. And I would love to see a really strong conference championship game. I think that would be really interesting, whether it's Boise State or Utah State that's in there representing the Mountain. I think it'll be really intriguing to see how that works.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Even if, like, as much as I want Utah State to be in there, as long as, like, the conference champions look good and our record's pretty good. I mean, maybe we lost to only Boise and San Diego State and USC.
That's a great season.
Yeah.
That's a 9-3 season going to a good bowl game with three respectable losses. Like, right. I don't look at that as a sad season. I look at that as, you know what? We did great, but we were in a good conference.
Yeah, and I mean, anything good for Mountain West ends up coming back to Utah State in the end. So
yeah, that's true. I mean, I think that's gonna be a great deal. But one of the things I thought was interesting is that Toledo got two votes. Toledo, and I also thought that was really funny because BYU plays Toledo this season, and BYU didn't get any votes.
In AP, they got two vote in coaches poll. Which
it's true. They got
which. The coach of BYU and
probably like Sitake can't vote this year.
Oh yeah.
But I imagine it's like Kyle Whittingham and like Arizona's coach that were both just like, you know what, we played in the first two games of the year. It'd be good if they were ranked.
Yeah, or at least like looked better. So when you beat this two vote BYU, it looks better for you.
Yeah.
Even though at the end of the season, I'm hoping 2-10.
So the only one
4-8. hopefully 2 and 10 to only winning SUU and
UMass.
UMass, yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about that last night. That would just be like the ultimate, like, oh my gosh.
Just picture it. Utah State is going into their final game 9-2 with only losses to Boise State, USC.
Yeah.
BYU is 2-9 going into this game.
With their only wins over UMass, the worst team in college football, and SUU, who is an FCS team.
It just would be awesome. It would make me so happy for that to ever happen.
But, I mean, we both know it won't.
It could, which is what gives me hope, is that, honestly, I don't think, like, 4-8 is an insane prediction. Like, I think that's honestly a pretty decent prediction for how BYU will do. To drop 2 games you weren't supposed to, that's not unheard of.
That's
like,
true.
It could. It won't. It probably won't, but.
Yeah, I think where they're more likely to pick up 2 games they weren't supposed to win than drop 2 games. Because, I mean, that has them losing to, like, Cincinnati as well. And I think Cincinnati's a good team. I do definitely think BYU's a stronger team.
I mean, I do have them at 4-8 with a win over Cincy, and I can't remember who the other one is. I forget.
That's okay. Probably Toledo's the other one you had.
Probably.
But we were talking about the possibility, and this would also be hilarious, if just out of the blue, BYU starts the season 0-8. Just can't win anything. They go into their bye week 0-8. And at that point, I think everyone is fired.
Most everyone.
Everyone is gone. Everyone's done for.
Taysom Hill's probably injured at this point. Tanner Mangum's not looking good.
Yeah. And, I mean, at that point, Kai Nakua has probably punched 3 people in the back of the head.
He's hopefully at that point BYU would kick him out, but I obviously probably not.
I think the argument is that BYU is so desperate for a national championship that they'd take a UFC national championship, even if it was a football player that wasn't fighting. BYU fans just, no. Kai Nakua is the best fighter in the country. We'll give it to him. And you just, no, how, what? He hasn't even fought anybody. Yeah, have you seen him fight against Memphis? Have you seen him fight against, and they just start listing him off. I'm like, all right, you know what? Well,
did you see Kai Nakua that
versus
hit
Conor McGregor? Let's see it at the end of the season.
Dude, I would love to see that. Just Conor McGregor wiping the floor with Kai Nakua.
I think it would be funny to see Kai Nakua win. I think that would honestly, in its own right, be hilarious.
Like, it would be funny, but one, I'm a Conor McGregor fan. And two, I hate Kai Nakua. So to see Conor McGregor just wipe the floor with him and not, like, end it really quick, but, like, play with him a little bit, super fun to watch.
That would be pretty funny. But, I mean, so back to the AP, you know, what we originally planned on talking about.
Real quick, for anyone who just joined us, you're listening to Overcompetitive Bystanders on Aggie Radio, KBLU 92.3 in Logan, Utah.
Yeah, we're really excited. Right now we're talking about college football. We kind of got off track for a little bit, but we're going to get back on to the AP poll, which we meant to talk about originally.
I mean, I don't care. We can talk about Conor McGregor beating Kai Nakua for the next hour.
Yeah. But
back to AP.
Yeah. So what we wanted to talk about, we talked about it a little bit last night when we were planning the show. We want to look at 3 things. One, the team that was ranked higher than where we feel they should have been ranked. 2, the team that was ranked lower than where we feel they should have been ranked. And 3, the team that wasn't ranked that we feel should be ranked. And I think it's going to be really interesting. I'm just going to start it off with my team that I feel should be ranked that isn't. And honestly, it's Utah. I think Utah's going to have a great season this year. I think Utah keeps on getting overlooked. And I mean, it's not that I feel like they're going to be, like, a top 10 team, but I do think every single year Utah does better than what people expect of them, and I think where right now they're at basically 28, I think they'll probably finish around 16, 17, and they'll have a good year.
I see where you're coming from, but at this point, I don't think they've probably, like, decided on what QB is starting, but I don't think they've announced it yet.
Yeah, they have.
Oh, okay.
And they actually had their third-string quarterback actually transferred away.
Okay.
I kind of felt bad for him. So he was a quarterback who was in the system for, like, 3 years, and he's been, like, working and doing everything. And all of a sudden, he's the third stringer behind the transfer and the freshman.
Freshman, yeah.
And so it's like, he kind of sits there and he's like, come on, I put in all this work. Like, it was supposed to be my turn. And then all of a sudden they're like, nah, you're third in line.
Yeah.
So it makes sense for him to transfer. They haven't said where he's going to yet, yeah. though.
And they did lose Booker, who is honestly the biggest offensive threat they had.
But, I mean, overall, I feel like their core stayed together. I feel like, although they lost that explosiveness in Booker, and that is a big loss, but I feel like in their core overall, they stayed good. Their linemen, their defense overall looks pretty good. And, I mean, their defense was really good last year.
I agree with you, but I just think it's that
– You don't agree with me.
I agree with, like, how they will be strong, and they probably should be top 25, but I think it's that uncertainty there that, like, some people are like – I mean, they're 28th. Like, for a team who up until, like, 2 weeks ago at least – we didn't know what QB was starting. They haven't shown. I don't think they have a very strong second string running back last year. I mean, he was pretty good, but I mean, he wasn't Booker.
Yeah.
I mean, so like, I think they will be top 25 week after week one, but I think it's just that uncertainty of like, will they or won't they be the team we want them to be?
Okay, that's fair. So, who is your team that you think should be ranked but isn't?
Wisconsin. I love Wisconsin.
Badgers.
Yeah. I think they're a little bit low. I actually don't know if I'd put them top 25.
So you're telling me the team that isn't ranked but should be ranked, you don't know.
I think
they
should
be
ranked, if not at least in like the top 25 spot, they should be at least getting more votes than they are. Like, I think.
So you don't even think they should be ranked?
Okay, I totally forgot this that what we planned on talking about this. So I just picked Wisconsin because I like Wisconsin, and I honestly do think they'll be a good team and they'll end in the top 25.
Okay, so that's fair. You do think they'll end?
I do think they'll end in the top 25.
But right now they shouldn't be ranked.
Right now I'm not upset that they're not in the top 25.
Oh my goodness! All right, that's fair. And you know what? I don't know. I think Wisconsin will be good. I agree with your argument that they should and shouldn't be ranked.
Yeah.
By the fact that they're not ranked, so they shouldn't be ranked, but they should be ranked, but they're not ranked, but they shouldn't be ranked.
Exactly. You
did
get
that
me.
Follow it
yeah,
perfectly?
Yeah,
was that exactly
you
what you
understood
meant to
me
say?
Exactly.
Okay, that's good.
Okay, but the
I guess that's
I'm just going to go into the team that I think is ranked too low. It's Stanford at number 8. They should have been in the play. They demonstrated they should have been in the playoff last year. McCaffrey is a beast. And
okay.
If he doesn't get the MVP this year, he's either injured or he got it stolen. Like, as long as he has a season like last year, he should be the MVP. I think he should have gotten more votes for the MVP last year, but I understand, like, you know.
See, I
Heisman,
don't think he'll.
Right, I'm sorry.
I hate that he won't get that much for Heisman this year either, because the problem is the East Coast people don't want to stay up till midnight to watch one player. And, I mean, McCaffrey's great, but they don't want to watch. They don't want to stay up. I mean, yeah, if the game's going, if it's an earlier game, they'll do it. But that Pac-12 after dark, although it is the greatest thing in college football in my mind.
Anything can happen at Pac-12 after dark.
The people on the East Coast don't want to stay up.
That's
too late.
That's fair, but you see all the highlights the next day.
Yeah.
He has so many. I guess
and
you don't see all
wise.
The highlights because he has so many.
Yeah,
any play,
true.
McCaffrey can just, like, take off. Oh, he's just running a simple slant route. Oh, he just ran an 80-yard touchdown. Pretty good. Yeah. Oh, he just ran it. Oh, nope, he's gone again. There's McCaffrey. So, I mean, I think Florida State's a little bit too high, and I think Stanford should be higher. I agree with Alabama and Clemson.
Okay.
Oklahoma might be a spot or two too high, but I'm okay with them at number 3. But I think Florida State's a little bit high.
Okay.
At the very least, Florida State and LSU I think Florida State should be behind LSU and Ohio State and probably Michigan and definitely Stanford. And I don't know why Tennessee is at number 9 as well.
So, yeah, I agree. Tennessee's my team that's too highly ranked.
Yeah, okay. That one makes
sense. I've listened to a lot of things that talk about why Tennessee is so highly ranked. And they're honestly, like, the hype train for Tennessee is incredible.
Is it as big as your hype train for San Diego State?
No.
Okay.
Well, yes, but...
Because you seem to think that San Diego State's going to be the bee's knees next year and it's going to make a run for the playoffs, apparently.
I somehow think Boise State and San Diego State will make a run for the playoffs. I don't know how.
So just whoever wins that championship will go to the playoffs?
You know, I honestly think that would be amazing. Can you imagine? undefeated Boise State, undefeated San Diego, both of them looking spectacular.
Don't they play each other?
No, they don't play each other until the until the conference championship. They're both undefeated. Okay. They're both like within the top 10. Can you imagine that being like one of the highest rated conference champions, like of like the whole conference championships this year? Like no other one has two in the top 10.
Yeah, who cares about the SEC this year? Let's look at the Mountain West, the two undefeated teams. Yeah, it's not going to happen, boys and girls, but that would be cool in Fantasyland.
That's true. Fantasyland is a great place, and that's where Boise State wins championships, sadly.
Yeah, sorry, getting back to this poll, I'm actually surprised to see Michigan State five spots lower than Michigan.
That's my too low. Michigan State.
Okay.
I think Michigan State is the team that is perennially, like, disrespected. No one ever respects Michigan State.
I mean,
and it's a joke.
Alabama disrespected the heck out of them last year in the game. So, I mean, I kind of get it. Like, they choke when it comes to the big things. But, I mean, when it comes to polls, I can't see Michigan State at 12 and Michigan at 7. I like Michigan a lot, and I actually thought they were the better team for 90% of the season last year, but I don't think I was correct in thinking that.
Mm-hmm.
And preseason, I think Michigan State is too low.
Yeah, preseason, I would probably put Michigan State probably at number 8.
Moving who?
I'd actually put them just
move Ole Miss.
I'd move Notre Stanford up.
Okay.
Probably just trade Stanford and Florida State.
Yeah, okay.
And then I'd drop Stanford down to 9 and then put Michigan State one spot behind Michigan.
Okay, you said drop Stanford down to 9.
Sorry,
what do you mean?
Stanford 4,
okay.
Florida State 9,
okay.
Michigan State
8,
and Tennessee I would probably put
21st.
Not quite that low. I'd probably move up TCU, Washington, Houston, UCLA, and put Tennessee at 16.
Okay, just right above Iowa and Georgia.
Yeah.
Also, Louisville at 19, apparently there's a hype train on them, too.
Yeah, that hype train's pretty good.
I mean, Louisville isn't, like, terrible by any means, but you always think of Louisville for basketball. Like,
it's true.
So
that's ACC.
But, I mean, it'd be really cool if Louisville had, like, a really strong football team and a team that always made a, like, run in the March Madness.
See, I think the main idea with ACC, with like the ACC right now, is just the general idea that you know that Clemson and Florida State are the best ones in their division, and the other division is kind of just up for grabs.
Okay.
Now Louisville is in their division.
In whose?
In Clemson and Florida State.
Okay.
But I mean, you can see how really, other than those two games, Louisville can win anything else.
Okay.
It's kind of the same idea I see with Utah State right now, where it's like, yeah, San Diego State and Boise State are the two favorites, but other than that, the whole schedule is open. And I think Louisville's similar in the fact that other than Clemson and Florida State, they can win every other game and it wouldn't be, like, incredible to think about. Now, I'm not saying that Utah State will have as much issue with Boise and with San Diego as what Louisville will have with Clemson and with Florida State. But I do think it's similar in the fact that that third team in the conference has a pretty clear road otherwise.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
You're giving me a look.
I thought
like
you
I
were
was
saying
insane.
Like they that Utah State was favored against USC, which,
no.
As big a fan as I am, I don't think the most I would put him is even, but I think USC is still favored.
Can I give my spiel about why I think Utah State has an incredible shot against USC?
I would love to hear it.
Okay. First of all, we have USC in a great spot in their schedule. So they've got Alabama first.
Oof.
So that is their opening game. Their game after that is Utah State, and their game after that is at Stanford. If that's not a trap game, I don't know what is. That's the idea. They're in a spot where they're going to be planning all preseason for Alabama. Then as soon as they get done with Alabama,
they're going to be preparing for Stanford. Yeah.
The other thing is, I think playing Alabama is going to expose a lot of weaknesses in USC.
Okay.
We're playing Weber State. that's not going to expose as many weaknesses. Now, yes, our weaknesses are a little bit bigger than what USC's are, but I still think that that creates a big opening for us.
That's fair. As long as our opening game isn't like last year's, where we have to rely on Rodriguez getting a return to win against SUU, I think we'll be in a good spot.
Okay, for one, SUU did really well in FCS last year.
Fair.
And Weber State isn't expected to do as well. So, yes, last year was a joke. It should never happen again.
Okay. But I just wanted to make sure you weren't, like, saying that SUU might have won that game.
But I do think it's not going to happen again this year. I mean, it's Weber State. Prepared. Yeah, it's Weber State.
It's not basketball. If it was basketball, I would actually be worried about Weber State a little bit.
Weber State basketball's good.
Yeah.
But I mean, you got Damian Lillard. You got Mullen Boy that's coming out of there. Like, yeah. This is a good program.
Yeah.
I actually, in certain ways, I'm afraid that Weber State's program in basketball has surpassed us in certain ways, but it's still tough.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, I think Utah State has a great shot against USC. Do you know what I would love is if, like, all this preseason, Utah State would have talked about how they, like, want to run the ball and just run the ball and we're not going to pass it. Because that's what Matt Wells has said. He said if he had his way, we would run the ball 80% of the plays.
I mean, we have Mays, who's a beast.
Yeah, and so. Hunt, who's another great player who can when Mays rests, Hunt can get big yardage. I think it's a great deal.
I think Hunt can, like, break big runs, but he's not, like, as consistent as Mays. But, yeah, I think you give – I like Hunt to, like, have that surprise just, like, all of a sudden he breaks a run.
Yeah, and that's why I think if we just all preseason talked about how much we're going to run and we're going to run and we're going to run, and then we play Weber State and we just run and run and run, and then all of a sudden against USC, we come out passing. And we come out throwing it deep. And we come out just completely different game plan than what USC has seen the entire time. Because against Weber State, we don't have to put our full game plan out there,
right.
Hopefully. And against Alabama, they're going to put more than their whole game. Their whole season is right there.
And these first three, well, like the first and the third game, I guess they wouldn't say their whole season's on the first three games. But
it's big. And so that's why I think, honestly, I think USC is going to overlook us. I think we've got a chance to really prove ourselves. I mean, I've watched over the past couple of days, I watched the Wisconsin game for Utah State. I watched the Auburn game. I've watched the couple of the BYU games, the Utah game. Like, we can compete.
Man,
really
I wish
anybody.
I had as much free time. No, I'm just kidding.
No.
plenty of free time.
So I've been watching it at work. We have a TV, and we've been using a Chromecast and just casting all of these full games on there. So if anybody wants to watch a full game, the Welcome Center here on campus, we've been showing full games there. It looks awesome. We've just been doing that nonstop.
They will try and trap you into signing up for a credit or debit card, though.
No, you can just come and watch the game. That is not even an issue. You can just watch the game. We won't even care. Sure. We just love talking sports. But with that, I really honestly feel great about that USC game. Now, do I think we're favorites? No.
Okay.
Do I see the scenario where we win it and it's not, like, insane and you're just – this isn't like saying, I think Chucky Keaton's going to run for 6 million yards against this team and we'll win. No, it's – okay, I think we have the right team to lay out and do well.
Yeah, like the season set out where we could steal that game. It's still a steal. We're not favored. Still. No one sees us winning that game, but we could still steal it.
The game that I think is going to be most difficult for us to steal, and I honestly think is the most solid that we lose – is the Boise State game.
Okay, I was just hoping you weren't going to say San Diego State because I was going to have to start yelling at you on radio again.
No, I think the Boise State game is going to be tough. One, they're mad at us. We completely humiliated them last year.
Yeah.
Two, they're a great team. Three, it's in Boise.
Yeah.
I think everything lines up. Does that mean we are absolutely done for? No. Does it mean it's going to be a lot? I think it's our toughest game. Probably.
Sure. I think
San Diego State being here in Logan in the end of October is going to be a big difference for San Diego. I think they'll still play well.
Yeah, and I mean, they run a lot. If they passed more, which I honestly think if they're this top 25 team that everyone thinks they're going to, they're going to have to start throwing the ball more.
Yeah.
If they start relying more on the pass, coming here in October is going to be much worse than last year where they just ran all over us.
Yeah, I completely agree. So I think – you know, we have a lot of different shots, and, you know, sometimes I get on the hype train a little bit too much for Utah State, and I just start thinking, man, imagine if we beat USC, and we beat Boise, and we beat San Diego. And
then we lose to BYU.
And then we lose to BYU. No, I'm just kidding. Just go undefeated. Like, yeah. I just get this hype train in my brain, and I'm like, can you imagine? We'd have this strong win, and, you know, how strong of argument would we have for the college football playoff? But it just would be insane. The other thing is, if that was to happen, we would then probably play San Diego State in the conference championship in Logan in December.
Which I think would be definitely favored. Yeah. So
I think it'll be really interesting. I love football, and I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah, and with that, for anyone just tuning in, you're listening to Overcompetitive Bystanders here on Aggie Radio, KBLU 92.3, Logan, Utah. We're here every Wednesday at 9. But all right, let's get back on track to the AP poll. And I think you had another topic to talk about.
Yeah, so one of the things I thought was ridiculous was there's no Pac-12 teams in the top 7. Stanford's the highest at 8. And then after you take Stanford out, it's Washington at 14. Like, so in the top 15, you only have 2 Pac-12 teams, and they're both in the bottom half of it.
Would you put any other, like, Pac-12 teams in the top 15, though?
I think the argument for UCLA with the Rosen one is really strong.
I mean, they're at 16.
Yeah, I might put them a little higher. They're not, like, one of the teams I think is super low. I think they're probably, like, a 12 or 13.
Okay.
I mean, I'm fine with
I'm actually, like,
16.
Completely fine where UCLA is at. Honestly, like, I don't actually know if they'll be 16. I think that's a little high, honestly. As much as I want more Pac-12s in the top 15, I don't think UCLA is the team to do it, and I don't think there's any other teams except for maybe USC you could talk about, and I don't think they're true either.
Yeah, so is it that you think the Pac-12 just isn't as good as these other conferences, or do you think it's just the fact that people think the Pac-12 beats each other up so much that they can't get through the season with that top 4 or 5 spot?
I think if they were, like, projecting the end of the year's rankings, that's a fair thing to say. But I don't think preseason you can go into the season saying, well, we're not going to rank Stanford as high because they have a lot of challenges in their conference and they might get beat up by a couple of these teams. No, Stanford's a better team than top 8. Mm-hmm. If you think that they're in a tough conference, that only gives them more power. It's not like, you know, they're in this tough conference, so they beat each other up, so let's rank them a little bit lower. If anything, the fact that they're in this, like, tough conference with a lot of top teams who can beat each other up should be, like, a pro for them.
Okay, so I do think it's fair to say that, you know, that they're in a tough conference and that it's going to be really difficult to see them get into that championship. But I definitely agree that in the preseason you should be looking at the team, not the schedule.
Right, like, the fact it's preseason ranking. It's where you think these teams are ranked against each other in the preseason, not where you think they'll be after week one, not where you think they'll be at the end of the season. It's where you think they are preseason.
Yeah, that's true. One thing I do think is interesting, now taking a look at the schedule, Stanford's got kind of a tough fight. So their first game is against Kansas State, which that's not...
Like, it's not a big, but I mean, for
it's a Big 12 team.
Yeah, we have a Weber State. They have
Kansas State.
Yeah.
Then they have a bye week: USC, UCLA, Washington, which all three of those are ranked right now.
Right.
Then they have Wazoo, which is just outside of the rankings right now. Then they have Notre Dame, which is ranked right now,
number 10.
And then they have their homecoming against Colorado. Good, they'll win their homecoming game no matter what. That's a safe pick for
Colorado.
For homecoming. Colorado. Actually, this is the Colorado that doesn't know how
they
to.
They misspelled official. They didn't misspell Colorado.
Yeah, that's okay. The lesser.
You can spell your state at least.
Yeah, and then they have at Arizona, which I think is another good team. Oregon State, that's a good win. At Oregon, at Cal, and then they finish their season against Rice at home. So, honestly, like, their first half of the season, I look at and I'm like, man, that's a proving ground right there.
Right, but I think they're good enough to do it. I think Stanford's really good, and it's not just McCaffrey. I think their team as a whole is really good. McCaffrey just enables them to be the top 5 team.
Yeah, I don't look at any of those games, even the Notre Dame game. I don't look at that and say, man, I can't see that. No, those are tough games.
Sure, but I think they're favored in at least 90% of those games, if not all of them.
Yeah,
like,
the only one I could maybe see is, like I said, the at Notre Dame. It's at Notre Dame. That's a tough one.
Sure.
But it's still, if Notre Dame is favored, what is it, by a touchdown?
At most.
About it. Yeah. So I think they'll do well. They're looking good. But yeah, I think Stanford deserves a lot more respect. Honestly, it kind of makes me happy, both for Stanford and for Utah, that they don't meet this season. Because I feel like Utah has a great, like most Pac-12 teams have done a great job at this, but Utah does a good job at like wrecking some teams, like little surprise hope. Like they start building up a little bit, and then Utah will like for some reason win,
right,
but then Utah will also look good and for some reason lose. That's just the idea of Pac-12 after dark. But I'm happy that they don't meet, because I feel like that's a better thing for both teams.
Yeah, like both teams improve because they don't play each other, which is weird.
Yeah, I think it's really good. But yeah, I think Stanford should be higher. I don't know. I just
still don't see Florida State number four. Like every other one, like Tennessee, sure, they were good last year. They have players coming back. They lost some games they shouldn't have lost. So sure, if you want to tell me they're number nine, like I can see the argument. Louisville has a great quarterback who's only getting better. Sure. Number 19, fine. No argument is out there for Florida State at number four that I will listen to. I'm like, yeah, you got a point there.
So I think the idea with Florida State is just that their biggest question last year was kind of their quarterback situation, from what I saw.
Fine.
And I feel like that's kind of still their question, but not as much. But I feel like defensively they still look really good. And that's where I feel okay with them. Like, now, do I think they're number four? No. Like I said earlier. That's kind of the idea. And I think their schedule, I look at Stanford and I look at Florida State's, and I'm like, man, if there's a one loss Stanford and a one loss Florida State, and that one loss comes to Clemson, and I don't care who the one loss comes to for Stanford, Stanford has a way better resume.
Yeah, like just strength of schedule.
You look at Florida State, yes, their first game is against Ole Miss. Okay. Then they play the Charleston Southern Buccaneers.
Is that a real team?
Yeah, Charleston Southern Buccaneers. It's a home game. Don't worry.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I'm really worried about the Charleston South Buccaneers.
Yeah. Then they play at Louisville, at USF. Then they play North Carolina, Miami, Wake Forest, Clemson, NC State, Boston College, Syracuse, and then Florida.
Here's the thing, though. So, like, Florida State has, like, a few really, really hard games, and then they have, like, five or six that they should never lose. Like, I mean, if it's to be believed that they're even a top 10 team, they shouldn't lose to at least definitely Charleston. Syracuse is a joke. Like, yeah. So.
Yeah, I look at, and it's like, Stanford can be a really good team and have, like, a two or three loss season, and people are like, you know what, those are valid losses. Like, that's a good loss. For Florida State, you're like, all right, maybe they lose to Clemson and Ole Miss, and then any other loss that I see on their schedule
is a joke.
Is like not that good of a loss. Like even Florida hasn't done that well recently.
Florida is not great. I mean, they're ranked 25 preseason, and I don't know. Like, I guess that's a good spot for them. Like, but they're not the Florida of old where you had to, like...
Yeah, they're not Tim Tebow. Come on.
Yeah.
Bring Tebow back.
Tebow needs to play for the Broncos.
Do you know what I think they should do? Give him four more years of college eligibility, but every year he has to play for a different conference. Like, and he can't...
And he can't play SEC or...
He can't do SEC. He's already done that.
Yeah.
So he has to do 1 year Pac-12.
Okay.
1 year Big 12. 1 year Big 10. And 1 year of ACC. And I think if they want to give him a fifth year and he has to do a group of five team, like any group of five team, I think that would be amazing. Can you imagine?
Yeah, but what Pac-12 team is picking up Tim Tebow at this point?
I don't know. I feel like having like a 30-year-old quarterback in college football, like... isn't even that great of a benefit.
Yeah, the thing about moving into the NFL is you get better lines usually, so you don't get hit as much. You have more time to sit in the pocket.
Come on. Don't tell me you wouldn't want Tebow to play for Utah State.
I would love it if Tim Tebow played for Utah State.
Can you imagine that? Tim Tebow, this like 30-year-old guy, is like right there, and they have him like when they show like how old they are, like instead of freshmen and sophomores, it just says Tebow. Like Tim Tebow, he is age Tebow in school. He's majoring in Tebowing. And it's just like, that's all it is. Like his stat line is legitimately just how many Tebows he did that season. Yeah. I think that would be pretty miraculous.
That'd be pretty good. That'd be pretty good. I'd love to watch him. I want to watch him play anywhere. Even if he ends up going to like minor league baseball, I'll watch some of his games. And I hate watching baseball.
It's true. That's very true. I don't know. I think it'll be really interesting, but yeah, I just, this whole AP thing, I hate preseason polls no matter what they are. Whether it's like basketball, football, like anything, they're always just a complete like shot in the dark and you have no idea. And like, yes, I think Houston will do well. I actually think putting Houston at 15 is too low. I think
it's a pretty good spot, honestly.
I think Houston's probably 10.
Like, they could be higher, they could be lower. I think 15 is actually pretty good. I am really happy to see Washington at number 14 because I think Washington is really good and nobody believed me last year.
It's true.
That quarterback, honestly, that could be playing in the SEC.
What's his name, Alex?
I don't remember. I don't remember names. I barely remember your name and I see you every day.
That's true.
Like, I had to think for a second of Kent Myers, which is just terribly sad. Like, the thing is he hasn't done anything to embarrass himself, so it's not burned into my mind like Nick Foles is, who throws the ball at the ground while trying to scramble, or Peyton Manning looking like a grandpa last year who, like, people got within 5 yards and he just fell into the ground. I really, really wanted him to, like, to put the life alert thing on him so you could just see Peyton Manning fall and press the button, and then all of a sudden he's doing a commercial with Peyton just being like, help, I've fallen and I can't get up.
Yeah, we'll see. So last year it was Jake Browning was the quarterback for Washington.
Okay, yeah, that sounds about right.
So I don't know if he's the one who's coming back or not.
He was really good last year. Like, I honestly think he could not like Alabama, but I think he could play for a couple of the SEC teams and look really good.
Yeah, I think he's a good player.
I mean, like, I think he tore Utah State up.
Yeah, I think State tore Chucky's ACL. Just tore
Utah State up.
I mean, that's one of the things. One of the inside sources that I heard is that the fact that Chucky was playing that much wasn't necessarily it's not that the players didn't like that Chucky was playing and they didn't like Chucky. It was just the whole idea that's like, can we not like give up on like this guy isn't doing what he's needing to do. Like, it's not that they dislike Chucky or they dislike Coach Wells. It was just like, come on, like, look at what's going on. Can we not, like, give our second string guy, like a shot?
Like, he could occasionally break a run, but then he would take 15 seconds to get up, and he wouldn't be able to move, like, within the pocket the next couple plays. Like,
yeah.
I love Chucky, okay? Like, I was really hyped on him early. He was the quarterback my freshman year. I loved Chucky. Yeah. But last year was sad to watch, and I think at some point, not only do you have – be loyal to a player, but you – in that loyalty, you have to think of the player's health. Like,
yeah,
is it being loyal to Chucky to have him get a not season-ending injury, but like
continuously
life-altering injury? I'm not gonna say life-ending injury because that's probably not likely, but like something where he has to walk with a limp for the rest of his like life. Like, I don't know. I had a lot of issues with him playing. He didn't look good. Honestly, if we had Kent Myers, we could have probably beat Utah last year.
I think we could have beat Utah and Washington. I think both of those games, we were just like a half step behind. And
I think that half step was Chucky.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I love Chucky, don't get me wrong, but last year was a joke.
Like, I completely agree. I think this year, the idea that all preseason we've been looking at a healthy quarterback that there's no, like, question marks on. We know who our starter is. We know what system we're going to do.
And we have Hobbs as backup, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and he's a great one. I think that's a really good, confident thing. And one thing that I've also heard coming out of camp is that right now our team is, like, the biggest it's ever, like, they've ever seen it. Like, these are the largest, like, most athletic, like, just strong guys that they've ever seen come out of Utah State. Apparently it used to be where, like, freshmen and, like, return missionaries could come back onto the team and within like a month be like there competing. Mm-hmm. But right now they just can't compete because athletically it's just so different.
Yeah. I honestly can't wait for like the Kent Myers and I want to say Calvin Hobbs, but I know that's not his actual name, but
it's Calvin. Go with Calvin and Hobbs. His middle name is End.
It's Damian Hobbs.
Yeah.
But Calvin Hobbs to Kent Meyer to Calvin Hobbs as a trick play.
And Ken Meyer to Calvin Hobbs?
Yeah, I said Calvin on purpose. I like that name. I'm going to call it for the rest of the season.
If we ever have a wide receiver that, like, Hobbs has a really good lineup, can we just rename him Calvin? Just Calvin and Hobbs, just killing it.
Just Calvin, and then change his middle name to And?
Yeah, I think that's a great deal.
That would be sick on the back of his jersey if they could somehow fit Calvin and Hobbs.
And even if they could, like...
Or if we had another player named Calvin, like last name or first name, so we could have Calvin and Hobbs once Meyer leaves?
Yeah, I think that'd be...
Because I think...
They're the same age.
Oh, okay, never mind. Take that back.
I think it would be really entertaining. Like, one game we somehow, like, just sew, like, this, like, stuffed lion or stuffed tiger onto Hobbs. And it's like, yeah, I know that is Hobbs, but it, like, keeps the same idea there. I think that would be hilarious.
That'd be pretty cool.
So I think, you know, this coming season we're going to have a lot of really cool things. So next week we are going to talk a little bit about fantasy football, from what I understand.
We should, as long as we can get a couple other people in the booth, because... I don't want to be rude, but I feel like if your attitude last year had anything to do with it, you wouldn't have as much to say about fantasy football.
So you're telling me quitting fantasy football 3 weeks in was a bad attitude?
The fact that I had to beg you to set your lineup every week, you were the taco of our league. You gave people free taco weeks.
It's true.
Anyone who doesn't watch the league doesn't get that reference, but if you do, I love you.
But no, this week this year I guarantee that I will do better. In fact, I promise I will win our league. I promise you that.
What do you want to bet that you'll, not that you should, just you'll beat, win the league, but what do you bet that you'll have a better record than me?
If I win the league, you have to shave your head. If you win the league, you have to shave your head.
Deal. No. We'll come up with something, and we'll probably share it next week as some kind of intro to our show. But yeah,
we'll start it off. We'll get our fantasy football bet going, and it has something to do with Alex shaving his head.
The thing is I don't mind shaving my head, so it's not a huge punishment. So,
well, we talked about the circle beard, and no, I thought the circle beard
is
the best
thing
ever. I will
not do the circle beard. For anyone who doesn't know, the circle beard is where your beard just goes up, and then you have, like, the single line on your head, and the rest of your head is bald.
Yeah,
so just picture, like, a beard as a circle on your face, and
like,
that's the
like
only
a
hair.
Wreath around a bald head.
Yeah.
Like, it is the greatest thing ever, and I keep trying to get Alex to let that be, like, the person with the worst record in our fantasy football league has to do the circle beard. And not even, like, they have to keep it for a long time. Like, they have to have it, we get to take a couple pictures,
and
they
can shave it. And then if we do that, we have to go out somewhere.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
But, like, I don't think we can get people to agree with that. I would honestly agree with that, except for I can't grow a beard well enough.
Which is why I think it would be even more entertaining.
Fair.
I think that would be hilarious.
That would look atrocious, so.
I would look very attractive with it, because I look very attractive with everything.
Yeah. And I'm already balding, so, like, it would be a wicked widow's peak with just, like, a tiny bit of hair actually on top.
Can you
because
imagine?
I can't
He's just got, like,
do.
A point at the top of the beard.
Yeah.
All right.
If this happens, I will share it on our Twitter at @competitiveUSU. Make sure to follow us and check us out next week.
And tweet to us what you think our wager should be as well.
Yeah, we'd love to hear that. See you next week, Wednesday at 9:00.